10 minutes after 5 on a Thursday morning, the Steve Cochran Show, hour number one. I'm Dave Ennett. Andrea Darlis is off for a few days. Steve is on vacation. Pete McMurray will be in here at 6 o'clock. Nick DiGilio is here. Mary's in traffic. Vic's in the newsroom. Kevin is handling sports here in the first part of the show. Scott Miller behind the glass. And should be a great day. Excited to get going. You just heard from Ben Feldman. He is one of the stars. Well, he appears on Mad Men.
Right.
I think he would probably defer to John Hamm. And he's also starring in a new NBC sitcom, which, Kevin, starts tonight, right? A to Z?
A to Z, correct.
That's tonight.
Yeah.
That looks good.
I'm taping it.
Yeah.
I'm excited about it. He's so cute.
And a really, really nice guy.
That's cool.
This is back-to-back days. We've had celebrities in the studio who are even friendlier and more outgoing than you thought based on their persona,
yeah,
as stars. And he was terrific. We had a lot of fun with
that. I was trying to put the A to Z on my DVR, but my DVR is loaded on Thursdays.
What do you got going Thursday?
I can't tell you.
That new show is on tonight too, that mystery one, about the kid who disappears. Or the kid who's murdered. Oh, what's Graceland. That starts tonight.
Oh, it starts back up?
It's brand new. It's like a little mini series, like 10 shows, I guess, of a murder. It's supposed to be really good.
Oh, okay.
Graceland is on, and then that A to Z is on. So, yeah, I'm filling it up tonight.
Yeah.
Good.
A lot of good stuff.
Good.
Good stuff.
Now, Nick, did anybody bring up Woodstock?
No, nobody brought up Woodstock. We talked about music movies, and not one person brought up. Somebody brought up Monterey Pop.
Which was sort of that same genre,
yeah.
But that, to me, was a defining film of my youth.
No question about it. Now, have you seen the full, 3.5-hour version of it?
I don't think so. I don't think my attention would get me through that.
It's like 3 hours and 45. The actual director's cut where they put in all the footage.
I have
it's,
not
it's
seen
like
it. Actually, I would
hours.
Love to see it because I haven't seen it in years.
Yeah.
But
defining film of your youth.
Yes, it was.
Really?
Well, back in the 60s, that was it. What's amazing about that film is that when they went to Yasker's farm and filmed it, did they have any idea how much of a monumental event Woodstock was going to be? I mean, they knew it was going to be big.
Yeah.
They knew that thousands of people were converging on this farm, but did they know when they took the cameras up there that they would come away with what they got?
You know what? Here's another movie that wasn't mentioned, and it's one of my favorites, is Gimme Shelter.
Yeah.
Which you want to talk about capturing a moment. They had no idea what was going on there at Altamont. And that movie is amazing, and it's kind of a nightmare too. I mean, I always thought of Gimme Shelter and that moment at Altamont as the best, definitely the end of the 60s. Like, it just, I mean, whatever idealism you had, whatever, mm-hmm. Whatever you thought about the 60s, and it all died at Altamont.
It captured the violence
absolutely.
Of the moment.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, it's a great movie.
Yep. Well, there were a lot of them mentioned this morning. Coming up on the show, again, Pete's in for Steve. Later on in this hour, we're going to visit with an oncologist. We're going to talk about Breast Cancer Awareness Month, which began yesterday, the month of October.
They took the bra down.
Yeah, where's the bra? Is it still out there?
Yeah, the giant pink bra that was out here in Pioneer Court yesterday.
I was on the air in the morning yesterday when they unloaded it at 3 o'clock in the morning and built it. And I couldn't figure out what it was. I was like, what are they pulling on
it's
this?
Daily Plaza now. We're told.
Oh, it's in Daily Plaza.
They have moved it.
Okay.
It is a movable bra.
So do they move it cup by cup or what? I mean, you saw it come in.
No, I saw it. No, they had a moving van, and they pulled this thing out, and it had a base, and it was upright, and it was I don't know how tall it was. I mean, it had to be 13 feet high. Maybe
and
even taller
what,
than
what
that.
What size was it, would you
oh,
say?
I'm guessing a quadruple G would be my guess.
I guess there is a charitable tie-in where if you get your picture taken with it, there's a donation made to breast cancer. So
are they going to be moving it around? Is it going to travel around the city?
It's a traveling bra. Yes, it is. A giant traveling bra.
Wow.
So we're going to talk about Breast Cancer Awareness Month later. Of course, the president's coming to town today. More on that throughout the morning with Pete. I guess they're going to bring the president into Gary Chicago Airport, which Mary, I would gather is great news for people who are trying to get around the city today.
I thought
today.
Vic just said he slept at his house.
Oh, he's here. Yeah, he came in yesterday.
Yeah,
that's
he's
right.
here. But still, yesterday was fun. But I guess he's here a lot, most of the day.
He's going to be up at Northwestern today. And
then he has another engagement after that. So I think he'll be here for a while. Not sure exactly when he's leaving, so we'll keep you posted on that.
Good day, sunshine. Sunshine.
Good morning, 538, 720, WGN, hour number one of the Steve Cochran Show. Dave Ennett, Nick DiGilio is here, Steve Alexander. Pete McMurray will be in just a few minutes to take us through the rest of the morning. As we mentioned, it is Breast Cancer Awareness Month as of yesterday, the month of October. And to talk about that, joining us is Dr. Catherine Pesch, a surgical oncologist with North Shore University Health System. Doctor, good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Well, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Where is awareness still lacking?
You know, there's always room for improvement. You'd be amazed how many women don't realize that they are supposed to get their mammogram once a year after the age of 40. I still see plenty of women that come in having their first mammogram in their 60s, and it's a little frightening, but it definitely still happens.
What?
So the recommendation is at the age of 40, every year, get a mammogram.
I know that men can be really dumb when it comes to taking care of themselves and getting themselves to the doctor. Are women unaware, or are they reluctant? I know it's not a comfortable procedure, but is there something that's holding them back?
You know, I see it all. So there are women who love getting it done. There are a lot of women who really hate doing it. And I think more so it's a reluctancy because you're being told you have to do it. It's not pleasant. It's not the most comfortable procedure to have to undergo. You know, your breast is smushed between two plates. However, it's extremely necessary because, you know, mammograms are the only test which have been proven to save lives. When caught early, you know, breast cancer is extremely easy to treat and very, very curable.
What are the most significant changes that you have seen in terms of diagnosis and general progress towards fighting this disease?
Well, you know, the hot topic that we've been talking about so much is actually the Angelina Jolie effect.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone may or may not know, she has what's called the BRCA gene, which makes her predisposed to the genetic form of breast cancer. And while she's in a small group of women overall who are at a higher risk of developing breast cancer at some point, you know, she has brought so much awareness to this genetic form of breast cancer and breast cancer in general. And so this Angelina Jolie effect, it's really over multiple different types of women, in that women who, let's say their mother died of breast cancer, or they have an aunt or a sister with breast cancer, you know, they come in and just ask me, you know, what's the deal with that genetic breast cancer and am I at risk? That has been a tremendous advance in even just the last year.
Now, is that something that if, say, a woman's mother had breast cancer and only her mother, or would it be a little more wide-ranging in her family, would that indicate that she would be a candidate to have the test?
Correct. You know, anyone who can say to me that their mother had breast cancer, of course they are scared and they automatically assume that they're at increased risk of breast cancer. And there is truth to that. You know, if you have any relative with a breast cancer, it does put you at somewhat increased risk, especially if it's a first degree relative. However, the group that Angelina Jolie is in, where there is a mutation that's inherited, it's usually very easily detected in a family. For instance, I'll meet someone who says, my mother had breast cancer, all of her sisters, as well as my grandmother had breast cancer. Those women are more often Ashkenazi Jewish women. And in general, those breast cancers happen at a much younger age. So very different than kind of the average run-of-the-mill breast cancer, which, you know, the average age of a regular type breast cancer is in their, you know, mid to late 50s. And, you know, while somebody may say my mother had breast cancer and that puts me at increased risk, you know, it's such a common problem these days, unfortunately. About one in every eight women actually develops a breast cancer now. So the fact that your mother had breast cancer, unfortunately, is a very common finding.
Hey, doctor, it's Steve Alexander. We've heard of men getting breast cancer. How common is that?
Yes, it can happen, and I do see a good share of men. However, when you compare the risk in men compared to women, you know, a lifetime risk of a man developing breast cancer is about 1 in 1,000. So much, much different risk. However, you know, we do see it.
Doctor, what would you, we're visiting with Dr. Catherine Pesch, surgical oncologist with North Shore University Health System. Doctor, what would you like people to get out of Breast Cancer Awareness Month?
You know, what I'd like them to get out of it is just knowing that breast cancer, while becoming more and more common, is even more and more easily treatable. And it is so important to get that mammogram, because when it is caught early, very, very treatable. And we have a wonderful system in place that will walk them through every step of the way. There is no need to be fearful of this. It's extremely curable. And for that reason, I just can't recommend enough that everyone goes in for that screening mammogram once a year at the age of 40.
All right. Good advice. Doctor, we appreciate your time this morning. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Catherine Pesch, surgical oncologist, North Shore University Health System. I think that Dean Richards will have his breast cancer special. Yeah. Should be coming up pretty soon. That's always kind of a benchmark in terms of covering this topic from so many angles.
And he's won awards for that.
Tons
for
of awards.
That's a great show.
It's terrific. It's absolutely terrific.
It just amazes me, though, that some people are still not aware of breast cancer. I mean, it's so prevalent. I mean, the awareness month, there's pink everywhere. How can people not be aware? And then the doctor says, you know, people are still coming in with their first mammogram at the age of 60. I mean,
yeah, the reluctance.
Wow, it's amazing.
Mary, the reluctance is mind-boggling.
Well,
when you know that, as Dr. Pesch said, it is very treatable if you catch it early.
And it's getting more common, but it is more treatable. And it is unpleasant being one of the only women on right now besides Kim. You know, it's not a fun thing getting your, you know, smashed by this machine. It's not fun, but it's very easily done. It's
you have
so quick.
To do it. And it just doesn't take that long.
And the nurses are so kind.
The nurse, they are.
And Kevin can account for that because his mom is a mammogram nurse or whatever.
She's the best.
Mammographer.
my mommy the mammographer.
Yes, yes. And they are so great.
Do you have a T-shirt that says that?
I should have.
Mommy,
make
that's
one
so
up.
Funny. But anyway, get it done. Get it done, people. A good day, and all my homies want to ride today.
That's right.
And all these mommies look fly today. And all we want to do is get by today. Hey, we're going to have a good day. And ain't nobody got to cry.
550, the Steve Cochran Show, hour number one on 720 WGN. Dave Bennett, Pete McMurray, saddling up for the next... Oh, what do we got? A 4 hours and
four
10
hours.
Minutes.
Yes, we do. Yellow.
Wait. Hang on.
There it is. How you doing, man? You look like you're going golfing today.
I'm not going golfing today, but I do probably look like I am.
We got a lot of rain coming, don't we?
Yes, we do.
I mean, I saw the radar this morning. It's going to be terrible this afternoon.
Big blob. I don't think the Cubs are going to be able to play.
Dave, the Cubs are done.
Season's over?
Yes, they
done.
Season's over. Yeah, it's all over. Yeah. Uh-huh. We got Engelbert Humperdinck coming up today at 9:40.
How pumped are you for this?
I'm pumped for Engelbert.
Is he coming into the studio?
No, he's going to be on the phone. But Engelbert did one of those duet albums. You know, I think as musical artists get older, they do the duet with the younger artists. But he has a song with Gene Simmons from Kiss. And we'll play it a little bit later, but it is kind of funny.
It's not After the Lovin'.
It is not. So I'll sing you to sleep. I love that tune. Don't you guys like that
song? It's a
great,
great romantic song.
We also have the White House press secretary calling at 7:40 this morning.
As usual.
Josh Earnest is going to be on this morning, the White House press secretary.
That's pretty good.
You know, the guy that's, he's the gatekeeper.
Mm-hmm.
So we can ask him about ISIS. We can talk about, you know, the security at the White House. Who was it? Julia Pearson stepped down yesterday.
Director Secret
of the
Service.
Secret Service.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, that's a mess.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a big mess. And would you feel safe if you're the president hanging out at your house in Hyde Park?
Well, they were very diligent in terms of searching his neighbor's cars. Did you see that?
No, I mean, really?
If you live on that street with the president or you live right around there, and I guess they're used to it because they've been dealing with this for almost 8 years. But still, I mean, the security was heightened around the president's home, as
well,
it should be.
He hasn't stayed there in a long time, though.
Yeah, right? It has been a long time,
hasn't
it? I
hope they dusted in there because it's probably full of cobwebs.
I know they have the concrete barricades in front of the house and around the street, mm-hmm. but what's his backyard like? They have to put higher fences up. They have to change the entire security when he became president, right?
I would think.
Change the aesthetics of the neighborhood because he's got the big fence up now.
Yeah, I don't think he can just go out there and play on that trampoline anymore.
And you can't drive over
there. Probably got a lot of skunks back there.
Mary, correct me if I'm wrong, but you just can't drive through that neighborhood anymore, right?
I'm pretty sure a lot of the area is blocked off, you know. Well, today, for sure.
Right.
But I don't know. I'm not sure. You know, I never really go to that area. If someone lives around there, maybe they would know. But, yeah, they do block a lot of it off.
I did a story down there. The president used to get his hair cut at the exact same place over in Hyde Park, and I went over there, and they gave me the shave on my face. Have you ever had the close shave?
The same mm-hmm. one that the president got?
Yes. Well, with the straight razor.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had that as a guy?
Sure.
I've never had the whole shave. I've just had, like, my neck and sideburns.
And what'd you think? Alexander, you've had it?
Yeah. That's great.
They ripped up my face. I have a very tough beard. You know, being mm-hmm. Lebanese, I got very coarse mm-hmm. hair. They ripped up my face. I didn't like it.
Oh. Scars?
And was no scars, but I had, you know, at least five places.
Did you come
where
out of there
bleeding.
With cotton all over
right, that's
face.
What they do. They take the toilet paper or the
that's
Kleenex.
That's a great look, isn't it?
No. You get the pencil thing.
I
you
thought
know,
it was really relaxing. Hot towels and, you know, lean back and just let them go at you.
Ever ready to go somewhere and you're putting on a white shirt, maybe a fancy event, and you hack yourself?
On
and
your
then,
neck.
And the blood just won't stop.
Sure.
And you've got this white collar.
Yeah.
You know, and you're trying to stop it before you put your shirt on and
you
got to
have
won't.
The backup, Dave.
Yeah. Styptic pencil.
Yeah.
Styptic. Yes, that's it.
Styptic pencil.
It works for me.
What the heck is that?
It stops the bleeding.
It burns, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but only for a split second, then it stops. Josh Ernst is going to be on this morning at 7:40. That'll be cool to talk to him. And he is a huge Kansas City Royals fan. He's from Kansas City, grew up there.
So he's got to be happy.
Yeah, so you can talk to him about a little sports.
Okay, we'll talk Royals, Angels.
I mean, what more do you want? Josh Ernst and Engelbert Humperdinck, right there. I should just head home right now and let you guys finish the show.
And Tom Bergeron?
Oh, I forgot about
that. Is that a secret?
Mary.
Oh, I thought
Mary?
That was tomorrow.
That's today.
Oh. Today.
Yes.
The host he's not coming in. Oh, he's very busy.
The host of Dancing with the Stars
in the middle
at 8:40
of the competition.
This morning.
Excellent.
It was the UFC fighter that got kicked off the other night, right?
The martial arts guy.
Yes.
Randy Couture.
Yes.
Yes, he did.
Right.
The guy with the ear thing that wrestlers get. What's it called?
Cauliflower
ear. Cauliflower ear, yes.
Yes. So that's all coming up. You want to take a quick break and then we'll check top of the hour?
Why don't we do that?
All right, sounds
I think
good.
That sounds like a great idea. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran show coming up on 720 WGN. How many sump pumps fail? Many of you probably know the answer since you've been hearing Roy Spencer from PermaSeal say it for over 35 years. The answer? All of them. It's not a matter of if, but when your pump will fail. Unfortunately, you may not realize there's a problem until your basement is flooded and you've incurred thousands of dollars in damages. Don't wait for that to happen to you. Call PermaSeal at 800-421-SEAL for a free evaluation by one of their certified consultants. They know every home has different needs and will evaluate your situation and design a sump system that's appropriate for you. A reliable sump pump and battery backup to help you avoid water damage due to a power outage or even a simple mechanical failure and give you priceless peace of mind. PermaSeal has licensed plumbers on staff along with a line of time-tested products to help protect your home and your family's health. And they've earned an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. Call 800-421-SEAL. That's 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Now, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, it's the Steve Cochran Show.
This is the center of the universe.
On 720 WGN.
Six 11, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Steve will be back on Wednesday, so we're here for another 3 days, counting today. The president is in town. He stayed all night at his house. He flew into the Gary Airport. We will talk to the interim director of the Gary Airport in about 9 minutes. And Mary, I'm worried about traffic today. Is the president going to be driving around Chicago? Where's he going to be? Do we know anything?
They say he's going to be traveling by helicopter as he works his way around town.
What's he going to be going from building to building? How's that going to work? Because the last two times he came to town, they shut down Lakeshore Drive. The Gold Coast was shut down. You couldn't get out of downtown. Took an hour and a half for me to get home just over near Wrigley Field.
Now, he's supposed to go to Evanston by helicopter.
He's going
to
speak at Northwestern, but
115.
Where is he landing?
115 yeah. At Northwestern?
Right
in the middle of Ryan Field.
Serious? No.
Yeah, where does he land?
He's going to visit the Dave Enna press box.
He's going to speak from there. No, I think that there's plenty of places that they could land a helicopter along the lakefront campus there. Okay. So I'm sure they have a place figured out.
But, you know, he's got his people that he has to see. He's got to see his big donors.
They don't publicize his schedule very well.
I mean, you know he's sitting at his kitchen table drinking a coffee right now listening.
Of course he is.
These guys have no clue where I'm going.
Do you think the president gets up at 6 every morning, or is he sleeping in? Because it's kind of like a vacation day for him.
Well, if you think he hasn't stayed in that house for over a year or two, that bed cannot be comfortable. He's used to the bed at the White House.
Why would the bed change?
Well, because he's used to the one at the White House.
Wouldn't you get the same mattress? You're the president. You can get whatever you want. How does that work? Do they bring the mattress in? Or if he stays at a hotel?
If he wanted it, they probably would.
If he stays at a hotel, don't they have to bring everything in? And he's got a guy that makes him food everywhere. Like last night, he went to RPM Steak. He has his guy make the food. He doesn't have the chef make the food. That's normal protocol.
You do realize if he was listening, he's now turned it off.
Because, I got to drive around today. I got a lot to do. I just want to make sure the president.
It's all about Pete. Yeah.
I just want to make sure the president.
Are you going to Evanston? Because that's where most of the chaos is going to be. He's delivering the speech at 1:15 in Conn Auditorium. And between 11 and 3, there's going to be a lot of road closures in the Evanston area. But so I have a whole list of road closures.
You guys all know that he's got people that he has to see today. Will they come to him? Maybe that's how it is. He's holding court at his house.
There are a bunch of barricades set up along Inner Lakeshore, just north of LaSalle.
Okay.
What's that street that cuts across from Clark over to from LaSalle? I think it is LaSalle.
Yeah, LaSalle.
Yeah. So and that's a schmancy neighborhood there. So perhaps that is where he's going to.
He's going over there, man.
Over there, but that's still out of it's out of your way. You don't have to go there.
Maybe he's playing golf.
Trying to think.
No golf.
If I have to get on Lakeshore. Okay, I just want to make sure. All right, and he's got his big donors. You know, you come to town, you got the big donors for the Democratic Party. You got to stop by and see, shake some hands, kiss some babies. Yeah. That's how it works. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll find out what happened at the Gary Chicago International Airport. I think it's interesting, even though it's in Gary, they have to call it Gary Chicago International Airport, like the Rockford Chicago International Airport.
Yeah, trying to get that Chicago in there,
So more people from Chicago will drive there and fly out.
I mean, it's the first time Air Force One has been at that airport. That's sort of exciting for them.
Well, didn't I hear, is this incorrect, that he flew in a smaller plane because the 747 that is usually used for Air Force One is too big for that strip, so they went with a 757?
It looked like Air Force One on TV, but yeah. I'm sure they have a few of those.
Maybe I misheard that.
It's... 6:19, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. The President of the United States landed at the Gary Chicago International Airport. On the phone with us, she is the interim airport director for the Gary Chicago International Airport. It's BR Lane. BR, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
When did you get the call that President Obama was going to land there?
We heard probably Monday that it was a possibility, and we started preparing on a just-in-case basis. It was confirmed the next day, and, and it finally happened. We're really excited.
Who picks up the phone? Is it the Secret Service? Is it his press secretary? Who calls you?
Secret Service.
Secret Service. And did you think it was a joke at first? Because if someone called me and said, hey, the president is going to stop by WGN, I would think it's one of my friends playing a joke on me.
No, it wasn't my cousin. We have tenants that have defense contracts and that sort of thing. So while, we've not had the president or a sitting president, we have had Vice President Biden come in. And so, we knew it was not a joke.
I mean, paint a picture for me. They show up because we know they have to go through the entire airport and they have to do security. Do they show up a few days in advance, a day in advance? What do they do?
Absolutely. They come a couple of days in advance, and they come in heavy in the sense that there are a lot of them. They have equipment. They coordinate with local law enforcement, including county. It's a pretty intense and rigorous process, I would say. And so it's been going on consistently since we got the call.
We're talking to the interim airport director of the Gary Chicago International Airport, B.R. Lane. The president landed there last night. Did you get a chance to meet the president when he got off Air Force One?
I was not able to meet him. The mayor of the city, Karen Freeman Wilson, and one of our wonderful senators, Senator Joe Donnelly, they were on the airfield to meet him. I was nearby but not able to get on the airfield and meet him.
Is Air Force One just sitting there on the runway right now? Where is it?
Yes, it is on the runway. Protected, but it is on the runway.
Did you walk through it? Do you get a chance to, take a tour?
No, and in fact, there was still so much activity that we had to do. That's an interesting question. I didn't even think about that. Shows you how busy I was.
We had Benny the Bull outside the Allstate Showcase Studios yesterday. I took a selfie and put it on Twitter. I mean, you're going to have to take a selfie today with Air Force One, don't you think? And post it.
I'm ashamed to admit I don't have anywhere to post it to. I'm not on Instagram or Twitter or even Facebook. It's terrible, I know.
Can you please send it to us and we will post it? I would love to see that.
Maybe I'll have my daughter do it.
The President of the United States, the most powerful man on the planet, landed at your airport. The first thing you do is call up your staff and tell them to clean. Am I right?
Yes. And I start with my office.
Why are you cleaning your office? He's not going to stop by.
I know. It's horrible. I know.
I mean, you notice everything. Oh, there's dust by the garbage can. Oh, the president's going to get out by the runway. Somebody get out there with a broom. Is that what you were doing?
He might ask for a tour.
Exactly. You never know.
So what time he's going to take off today? He's going to head back to Washington. Are you going to be there just to see him?
I am not going to be there. I have a series of meetings. I'm sure the president and certainly the mayor, both mayors and
right.
both boards, would expect us to continue business as usual. And so there will be, I believe, a little less fanfare, but still some media and still, a very sort of robust community welcome. For him, but I will not be part of it, unfortunately.
Well, there's got to be a nice little buzz around the airport today.
Yeah, everyone is really excited. I mean, he is from Chicago, but Gary being so close, 25 miles and 35 minutes from downtown Chicago, we kind of consider him, a part of our community as well. And so it was sort of like, welcoming home someone from our community. And so Gary is very excited.
Of course.
Is the airport closed while Air Force One is parked there?
Great question.
Yes, right now. Yes.
Well, you have to. Of course it's closed.
And it's the baby Air Force One. Is that right? It's the 757?
If that's the baby, I'm afraid to see the parent.
Well, right.
Yeah, the bigger the 7. That's what I'm asking. Is it's not the 747?
Don't know.
Okay.
I don't know which one it is. It's a big one, though.
Okay, well, can your airstrip accommodate a 747?
Not yet. So we're actually in the process. We're in the process of doing a runway expansion.
Oh, okay.
We currently have 7,000 feet for our runway. We're doing another 1,900, and that will be complete next year.
So it probably is a 757.
Yeah. Yep.
Are you going into the lake? Are you adding on that end or the other end?
The other end. Oh. So we're having to move a railroad.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, fun.
So Pete asked the important question, did you clean? But more importantly, did you make sure that Hudson News is all stocked up with all the proper magazines and the peanuts are stocked and the gummy bears?
We actually don't have a Hudson News, but I can tell you there will probably be one soon after this.
Of course.
They could have made a wonderful dime this couple of days.
Well, BR, we are very excited for you guys. BR Lane, the interim airport director of the Gary Chicago International Airport. The president landed there last night. He'll be taking off tonight. And congratulations on that and continued success.
Yeah, get that selfie.
Yeah, yes. Right. Thank you, guys. You guys have a wonderful day.
Will you hold on? I'm going to have you take a selfie and send it to us. I'll have you talk to Scott, okay?
Sure.
I want that selfie. I mean, you're standing there in your office, and behind you is Air Force One.
How cool is that?
I mean, come on. That's a photo op you have to take. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran, 626. Thanks again to B.R. Lane, the interim airport director of the Gary International Airport. How excited was she? I mean, she was very excited. I was excited because she was excited.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, it's a huge deal. Have you guys ever seen a president in real life?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Am I the only one on the show that has never seen a president in real life?
I've seen several.
I've never seen a president's motorcade. I've seen the helicopter fly over my house back to O'Hare.
I've seen two at once.
What presidents?
Clinton
and Obama.
No, President Bush and President Obama at the inauguration at the handover.
Oh, jeez. Dave?
Well, it's going to take a while for me to name
Dave
them
used
all.
To live in Washington.
Right. I grew up in D.C., so I used to see presidents all the time.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Mr. Big Time. That's
just
nice.
Just saying.
So we start with FDR.
But the last president, former president, actually, that we saw was right out here on Pioneer Court, outside the Showcase studio, Bill Clinton.
Really?
And that was probably about a year ago. He was out here for some appearance.
I've talked to Clinton on the phone.
We've seen Carter. Carter's been here.
He's been here a number of times.
Yeah.
I've never seen him. I talked to Carter on the phone a few times.
He just turned 90 yesterday.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Actually,
all these presidents are getting up there.
Now that I think about it, it's not two. It must be.
Thanks for checking out the Steve Cochran Show podcast.